Tim.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's been a great, great week, and just so many good decisions and good spirit all week long, and praise the Lord for that. And it's been a blessing. I know when Brother Marwell, he called me and told me what he was doing, I was intrigued by the ministry, but mainly I was excited about the opportunity of us being a blessing to him. He's our friend, and he supported us by bringing young people to our school. And I thought, boy, we can just bring him into our missions conference and learn about his work, but again, just enjoy the friendship that we have together. And so I want you to listen carefully. It'll be a blessing. He kind of started things off Sunday night with his ministry, and he's going to tell us some things tonight. I think it'll be a blessing. Let God speak to your heart. Brother Marwell, you come.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your prayers for Shelley. She's doing substantially better. We do believe in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
One of the beautiful things about technology today is you can get a lot of people praying for someone in a very short period of time. And the blessing of it being on a Wednesday night, a lot of the folks, of course, that I know are all church people. So call the pastors, and they let people know. And she had people all over the country praying for her. And by a quarter till eight, her heart was back to regular rhythm. And we just give the Lord glory for that. Pray for her, because usually when this happens, it's a period of time before she gets back to normal. And we've got a very busy schedule. So the Lord's timing is always right. He knows what he's doing, and we don't have to question it. Amen? I'm just very sorry she couldn't be here tonight. She feels terrible that she can't. But she knows what she can do and what she can, and that would be one that she couldn't do. So thank you so much. I want to be very careful not to spend too much time, but this particular juncture, as all these other men, I'm sure, have experienced the same thing I'm experiencing right now. How in the world do you use words to show your appreciation for what you folks have been to all of us? I just don't think that we can come up with adequate enough words. And so the only thing that really came to my mind that I wanted to share with you is, of course, as you know, I was in the pastoral ministry for 25 years and have been involved in a lot of missions conferences. I wish I'd have known what you folks know myself, so I could have followed that, but I certainly did not know. But the thing that stands out the most to me that sets you folks apart from every place I've ever been is that what you do is from your heart.
Amen.
And that what you do is from you personally. That's the part that separates you. A lot of churches do a lot of wonderful things. Like, for instance, this is just a for instance. I can't grab it right now. I left it. But on my cell phone right now, just before the service, I got a text message from a supporting church. And the text message said this. You guys ask me later, I'll tell you who it is. Said, "The Lord has blessed our church, Brother Marwelli, in a wonderful way, and we would like to help you financially. Let us know your needs." The Lord has blessed this way in times past, and we've helped people with cars.
Amen.
I'm reading this stuff just before the service, and so I closed it and put it away so I could stay focused. Amen. But that is a perfect illustration of, that's coming out of their missions fund. What you have done has come from you individually. It just changes everything. And I think that's what makes it so humbling. So all of you who have had a part in so many things, and because of what I've done, I know, especially you folks in the kitchen, and especially you folks in the nursery ministry, and all you folks that have kept the buildings clean and all that you've done, what a wonderful job. Just thank you much. I guarantee you none of us will ever forget this conference at Berean Baptist Church in 2010, ever. And you'll be used in many illustrations around the country, I am sure. And all of you who had us over for meals. I'm relatively sure the motto of your church. Do you have a motto? I'm not sure, but it ought to be this. Not Toys R Us, but Food R Us. That ought to be it. And wow, you're just amazing. And so praise the Lord for that. I never knew what missionaries meant when they said, "I'm on a deputation diet." I know now. I've got it figured out now. Thank you so much, especially for the opportunity to go shopping. Now, we shopped. How long did it take us, men? 40 minutes max? I'm not sure. How long did it take the lady? Well, anyway. And I told Preacher sitting up here, I said, I'd be embarrassed to tell the folks when the last time was I had a new suit. Because you would think, you know, he's been a pastor for 25 years. He gets suits all the time. This would be the first new suit that I have owned since I was in college.
Oh, amen.
And so I know that'll shock you, but that's the way that it is. Now, at the same time, since I'm the last speaker and I get to leave, don't forget your pastor.
Amen.
Because I'm just wondering when the last time was you bought him a new suit. And he can use them as much as we can. And so just maybe think about that, men. And be a blessing there too. I'm sure your heart's desire is for that also, and I know that you will. I had a lot of folks that mentioned that they wanted to see the stuff that we had, and so I told the missionaries, I'm not trying to upstage you, that I still have some of my stuff set up, and theirs is all taken down, but a lot of you folks said you wanted to come by and see the stuff, and so we do have that stuff still left up out there in the table, and you're welcome to see me afterwards on that, and that would be a huge blessing for us too. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless in this time, please. Heavenly Father, again, we are just so humbled at what you've done this week, Lord, not just because of the gratitude and the heart of the people, but to see how you're working it at Berean Baptist Church in Adrian, Michigan, and to know the need that's represented in this county. Lord, I pray you bless this ministry. I pray because of the hearts of these people as they continue to invite their friends and they continue to live a life of Christ. They continue to be, for some people, the only Jesus that that person will ever see. I pray that you'll bless their efforts. Father, I pray that you would strengthen the tent pegs of this ministry as it grows. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Father, open our eyes once again, please, in your word. I pray that the message of First Bible will be very clear for these folks, and that in days ahead, as Berean Baptist Church gets on board with First Bible, they'll be able to see tonight what could be the fruit of that labor. And we'll thank you for it. We'll trust you for great things by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in your Bibles, if you will, please. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 10. I don't know who does the lights, but if it's possible, maybe just to turn the spots off of the screen. It might be a little clearer for folks. That would be good. All right, thank you. As I have already shared with you, I am a representative of First Bible International sent out from them to be able to go around to churches like you to let the churches know of what the needs are of First Bible. And what we do is, I've already laid that groundwork, so I'm not going to repeat myself, but getting Bibles to people who have never had a Bible in their language that they can read at all. And so I'm a representative of 3.2 billion people. Nearly one half of the world's population does not have a Bible in their heart language that they can read at all. I said on Sunday night, aren't you glad you're saved by grace? We talk about being saved by grace on a very regular basis, for by grace are you saved through faith. And we know grace is Almighty God giving to us that which we do not deserve. And every one of us and your preacher and all the lay people in here will be the first ones to say we don't deserve to do what we do. We don't deserve to have our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't deserve to be sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. We don't deserve for our sins to be put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't deserve a mansion in heaven. We don't deserve answers to prayer. But by the grace of Almighty God, we're able to experience all those things. Amen? And so much more. But not only are we saved by grace, but the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, we're justified by grace. justified by grace. It's wonderful to put your arm around the shoulder of a young person or adult and show them from the Word of God how they can be saved and watch them receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. For the Christian, there's nothing greater than leading someone to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. But I think right second to it is right after they get saved, to be able to show them from the Word of God how that now their sins are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never to be brought back to their account again. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Hard to comprehend, but thank God for it. Galatians chapter 1 then says we are called by grace. Saved by grace, justified by grace, and called by grace. Preacher, would you agree with me that we never deserve to step up onto that pulpit and get behind that sacred desk and proclaim what saith the Lord except by the grace of God?
Amen.
We don't deserve it. But once we surrender to what God wants us to do, He then equips us. And when He equips us, He then allows us to be able to get up and do everything that He's called us to do because of grace. Now, you hear that all the time. I'm sure many times you've heard a lot of preachers come across this platform and preach, saved by grace, justified by grace, called by grace. Let me take it one step further. The Bible says, and you know it, in John chapter 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says, and the Word became and dwelt among us. Why? Why us? Who are we that we have the opportunity to hold the Word of God when half the world doesn't? I got it. I figured it out. It took me a long time to figure this one out, but I believe the Lord gave it to me. I listened carefully. The reason we have the Word of God and half the world doesn't that they can read is because we are special. God loves us more than He loves those people on the other side of the world. Therefore, we've got a Bible. Amen? Right? We know that's not right. We know God doesn't love us any more than He loves those on the other side of the world. But the end of that verse, if you look at it, says full of, do you know what the word is? Grace. When's the last time that you considered the reason that you can hold the Word of God, read the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, share the Word of God with somebody that needs to hear? Let the Word of God change someone's life for the rest of their life. Reestablish their inheritance. When's the last time you considered that's only because of grace? We don't deserve it. While the United States of America has over 200 translations, half the world has none. The Scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. I realize we have one that we need and 199 that we don't need. I realize that, but the reason those 199 are there is because of money. The almighty dollar is what keeps generating all these different versions and perversions and on you can go. It's money. There's all kinds of translations that are sitting in shelves right now in places that nobody knows anything about that never went to the press because there was no money to be made from it. God help us. Help us to get the Word of God out because God has commanded us to do that. Saved, justified, called, and have the Word of God because of the grace of Almighty God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 14, if you look at it, it says, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure. Wow, there's a message in itself. As though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other man's labors, but having hope. Notice this. When are you having hope? When your faith is increased. And I realize that you're doing a faith promise offering this year, and you do it every year, and thank God for that. Faith promise giving. I like to say faith promise giving is money that God will give. Listen carefully to the words. Money that God will give through you that He would not have given to you except He knew you were going to give it to faith promise giving. Money that God will give through you that He never would have given to you except He knew you were going to give it to faith promise giving. Faith. That when your faith is increased. Is there any such thing, really, as saying, that's as much as I can trust God by faith for? Really, is that ever a statement we can make? And it have any biblical jurisdiction to it at all? That's as much as I can trust God by faith for. It would be incredible if we all would trust God by faith for what He wants to give through us that He would not give to us unless we give to worldwide missions. The problem is we're selfish. That's the problem. The problem is we get to the point where we realize that and then we put a commitment out there and we trust God by faith to do it, and then all of a sudden we receive money that we never planned on and we go, ah, new golf clubs. New boat. New suit right there. New pair of shoes right there. Clothes for the kids right there. And all those things are good. Nothing wrong with any of the above. Except that's not why God gave it to you. And we miss it. Doesn't even have to be that big. It might be, have you ever looked at those coupons? And have you ever gone to the grocery store and when your groceries were done, you looked at the receipt and it said, you saved $69.71 on coupons today. Have you ever thought maybe why you got those coupons? You see, we're selfish. But when you're watching, I'm telling you, it's a blast. I remember when I first got a hold of this grasp of faith promise giving. And I think it's personal. I don't think it's anything I need to share with you on dollar amounts. But I'm telling you, it's an exciting life. When you trust God by faith and then every day you are watching. Lord, how are you going to supply that money today? Amen. Watching for it so that when it does come, you don't even think about it. You don't even consider whether or not where that goes. It's just, I can't wait to get that in the offering plate. That's going to be exciting. What about picking up coins off the ground? Do you pick up coins off the ground? I don't pass them up personally. I'm not too proud to pick up a penny. Amen? Happens to remind me of my dad because my dad would never walk over a penny. And every time I pick one up, I say, thank you, Dad. But you say, well, you know, how much change are you going to pick up to make a difference? Well, I don't know. How many people are here tonight? How many people are here tonight, preacher? I don't know, 150, 200?
6,000.
6,000, amen. Evangelistically speaking, 350? And everybody, you know, whatever amount of change that you picked up or you got out of your... Well, I'm on a rabbit trail and I got to get off of it. But I think that you can see the point. It's money God will give through you. He'll give it through you. It's never intended for you to keep it. Never intended for you to make the decision where it's going to go. Never intended for you to redirect it another direction. Through you to worldwide missions. What a wonderful life it is to watch God do that. By the way, from a pastor's heart, God will never bless you in faith promise giving if you're not first a tither. If you're not first a tither, if you don't first tithe of the first fruits of your income, a regular giver of your tithes, even offerings, and even sacrificial giving. If that's not a regular part of your giving, faith promise giving is never going to be reality to you. But once that's in order, then it's amazing to see. Now what happens? What happens when all that comes to be? The end of verse 15. When your faith is increased, what? That we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Why? To preach the gospel in the regions beyond. How are you going to strengthen your missions program? How are you going to get your gospel preached in places where it's never been preached before? By doing what, church? Increase your faith. Increase your faith. I'm sure your preacher says this. I'm positive he does. One of the goals of Berean Baptist Church when it comes to faith promise giving is everybody doing something. Because everybody can do something. From the youngest to the oldest, everybody can trust God for something by faith. Amen? And if everybody participates, it would be amazing what you would see happen in regards to your faith promise. How does it stretch? How is it enlarged according to the rule abundantly? How can you preach the gospel to areas beyond? Well, let me ask you this. What is your philosophy in regards to taking on missionaries? Most churches that I'm in, they don't have one. In most churches that I'm in, and I'm positive it's not the case here, but in most churches I'm in, it's like this. It's annual business meeting time, January, or it's the annual missionary conference time, whenever that is, that they take on missionaries. And it comes up an opportunity to take on missionaries, and they start reflecting. Okay, who have we had? Who do we want to consider? And somebody will raise their hand, they'll go, preacher, do you remember that one family that came through? 7 kids. They all sat right there on that third row, never moved a muscle. Man, well-disciplined family, good candidate for a missionary. Amen, I agree, you? Oh, do you remember that? Do you remember that one missionary family came through? And that wife, she sat down at that piano and she sang, woo! Angels paid attention. I mean, she was amazing. That's going to be a good missionary family. Or that one. Do you remember that one preacher when he got up and he started preaching? I didn't even fall asleep. I mean, I always fall asleep when missionaries are preaching, and I didn't even fall asleep. He's incredible. He's going to make a great missionary. Hey, church, is there anything wrong with any one of those things? Not really. But the problem is what we're doing then is we're picking our missionaries by emotion instead of by strategy. And what happens then is we're not getting the missionaries to verse number, 16, regions beyond. We're getting them to the same places that we're continuing to send them to. My desire is to raise an awareness as to how we can biblically fulfill our God-given responsibility as it relates to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. How do we do that? Well, I believe the way that we do that is that we have a purpose. Our purpose in First Bible is that we start with Scripture translation and Bible publishing. Stop right there. We think that's the missing link to why there's not more missionaries going into different places than they've ever gone before. Now, make sure, I want to say this at the very beginning, because those of you that are going to fall asleep in the next 20 minutes and walk out and misquote me, I want to make sure you get this, okay? Everybody look here. If you don't look at me anymore, look at me right now, okay? If God calls you to go to Canada as a missionary, where should you go as a missionary?
Canada.
You go right where God calls you. I'm by no means in this presentation trying to get you to say, well, are you telling me all these missionaries, are you telling me all these other missionaries that we've had are not going where God wants them to go? No. No. And by the way, if God's calling you to go to Hawaii, I challenge you to go.
Amen. Amen.
I challenge you to give it a try. Go ahead. See how much you can focus on the ministry there versus everything else that's there. I'd encourage you to go ahead and give it a try. If you think God's calling you to Italy, have at it. I bet they'll help you go. In fact, I bet they'll give you all the details on how to get there, and they'll even encourage you to come right along with them. Go. Amen. If that's where God wants you to go, that's exactly where you need to go. Right where God wants you. But here's the challenge. Let's just say for a moment that Daniel. Are you Daniel? Daniel, how you doing, man? Good? Can you help me in this message? Because I need a helper. You're not shy, are you? I have one way to find out if you're shy. And this will really determine how long this message is going to last, okay? One way I can determine it is by the way you say amen. So, say amen like a man. How did you sign that? Yeah. That was like half of an amen, right? Daniel. Come on, man. Help me out. I mean, put something into it. One more chance. Suck it up. Do it like you would be yelling at your favorite player at a ball game. Okay, one more. Come on, really. Yell one out. There you go. Okay, I knew you could do it. Now, Daniel, I really need you to help me. And in you helping me, you have to really pay attention. So you're not someone that falls asleep, are you? Okay, very good. All right, now, here's what happens. Let's say God calls Daniel to the mission field. And God calls Daniel to a mission field that has no Bible in their language that they can read at all. How's Daniel going to start a local church in that mission field without the blueprint that shows the people what a church is all about? How's Daniel going to start knocking on doors through the huts and through the jungles without the blueprint that shows them you must be born again according to the authority of the Word of God? And so we want Daniel to have a copy of the Word of God. That has to start with Scripture translation and Bible publishing. Then we can work with the nationals, and then we can start planning local churches. And we believe when we do it in that order, we can see amazing things accomplished. Because there are 6,000 unreached people groups. How many, Daniel? Come on, Daniel. Thank you. 6,000 unreached people groups needing the Scripture in their language. 95% of them live in the 1040 window. When we say 1040 window, if you're not familiar with it, it's this area right here. This is the 10-degree line north of the equator. 40-degree line north of the equator. That's easy enough, right? Thus, 1040 window. And in that area right there, 95% of the 3.2 billion people without a Bible live right there. When we're talking about these people, we're talking about people groups. We have reached people groups. They have a church. They have a scripture presence. They have some form of a gospel. That's us. Hello? That's us. Thank God we're reached people. Thank God for our church. Do you love your church?
Amen.
Amen. And do you know what will fill these church pews more than anything else that I know of? Loving your church. If we could get half as committed to loving our church as we are to our sports team, something would happen. Sports players, they have sports fans, they have no problems wearing their colors. None. Big game this Saturday. Big game this Saturday. In fact, if it was on Sunday, you'd have problems with church attendance, for sure. Those people that wear green and white, God help your souls, no way are going to sit next to those that wear maize and blue. It's not going to happen. Not on that day. And you have no problems saying whatever you need to say about it. Man, if we could do that with our church. If we could love our church that much, and the talk that will happen for weeks after that game. Man, when's the last time we talked weeks after a Sunday morning church service? If you could just see what would happen, you should have been there. In fact, you should have come early and got a seat right down front like you want to do at the football field. Nobody wants to be in the nosebleed section there. Get down front, amen? Hello? Whole other message in itself right there. That's what happens with the God of America being sports. But we have that, and they'll fill the church pews when you love your church. Then there are those who are unreached. Unreached, they don't have a church. They have no gospel presence, and they have no form of scripture at all. Who are these people? Let's go to Africa. Let's pull out Burkina Faso. And in Burkina Faso, there are various different people groups. Different languages, different geographies, different groups of people. That would total in Burkina Faso 29 right there. Let's go a little bigger. Let's go into Asia and pull out India. A little bigger than Burkina Faso. Again, all kinds of people groups that are there. Daniel, how you doing, man? Good and awake? 29 in Burkina Faso. India's a little bit bigger. I don't know how many. 100? Let me help you. 2,274 just there. You see, when we're praying about, Lord, where would you have me to go where the need is the greatest in the 1040 window? Just go. The need is everywhere there because most of the 6,000 unreached people groups are what we call unengaged. Unengaged is very similar to unreached with one exception. That concerns us. Nowhere did God ever intend for nobody to do what He commanded us to do. At no time. Somebody needs to be doing something about it. First Bible International wants to reach them because 2,000 years after the Great Commission was given, 200 years after doing missions the way we've been doing missions, and one half of the world is still left out of the gospel presentation. Do you agree if that statistic is true, and it is, we should do something different? Church? Amen? We need to think about that and see what we can do different. There are 4,000 independent Baptist missionaries that are going out from the United States of America right now. Where are they going? 85% of them are going where? 15 different countries. 30% of those are going into the same 5 countries. Those 5 countries, you probably could guess, are Brazil, Mexico, the United Kingdom, the Philippines, and Canada. That's quite a thought. The challenge is that only leaves 8% that's working in the 1040 window. What can we do about that? Preacher, these numbers are too big for me to even comprehend. Is there something we can do? I think there is. Go to Psalm chapter 2. Everybody look at Psalm chapter 2 in your Bibles, if you would, please. Psalm chapter 2. How many of you believe in prayer? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you believe if I can show you from the Word of God how that through prayer we can see a difference in these numbers, you would agree that it could happen? Say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Watch this, church. Watch this. Daniel has to somehow decide where he's going to go to be a missionary. You can read the missionary displays of our missionaries, and on their displays it tells you how they decided to go where they're going. Daniel has to decide, what's he going to do? What's his process going to be of deciding where to go? It's probably going to be like most. You're a senior, Daniel? Been here in this church how long? Pardon me? For 3 years. And so for 3 years, it'll be four by the time you get out of high school, you will have sat through numbers of missionary conferences, you've seen all kinds of missionary presentations that have come across the screen, and then you're going to go off to Bible college, you're going to train at Bible college to learn the ministry in Bible college. You're going to see all kinds of missionaries come through. All of a sudden, one of them is going to grip your heart. One of them is going to get you to the point that every time you open the Word of God, that place is going to jump out at you. You can't get away from it. You're going to get the peace of God, peace of prayer, counsel from godly people, and they're all going to agree, Daniel, this is where you need to go. Any problem with that, church? None. No problem with that whatsoever. But with that being the case, what are the chances that he had any opportunity to be challenged to go where almost no missionaries are going? What's the opportunity? Slim to none. But Psalm 2:8 says, ask of me. Psalm 2:8 says, Pastor Rogers gets a handle on the truth of Psalm 2:8, and all of a sudden, you see an explosion at Berean Baptist Church with an influence of you becoming aware of the unreached people groups. You say, how do you do that? Well, first you start praying for them. You start praying for them. Second, you come by my display table as soon as we get done, and I have a free prayer guide that I will give you that you can use for a month. And as you pray through that prayer guide in 1 month, you will pray through the top 100 unreached people groups in the world in a month. So what happens? The people of Berean Baptist Church are now praying regularly for the unreached people groups. Maybe somebody even takes it further. They go to firstbible.net. They download profiles of unreached people groups. And on your missionary display, maybe once a month, there's a profile of an unreached people group. Daniel now is hearing regular prayers from the pulpit for a different people group, maybe every other month or every month. He's seeing all of a sudden on the missionary display a profile of unreached people groups. He has now maybe even heard his Sunday school teacher talking about that, and Daniel has at the top of his list unreached people groups. Now, it's been 4 years, and that's been taking place for Daniel. What's the chances now that Daniel's going to at least consider going to an unreached people group first? At least consider it. The challenge is we don't even have anybody considering it. And if it's God's will for him to go to Canada, he needs to go to Canada. But if it's God's will for him to go to Burkina Faso, he needs to at least know that that's where God wants him to go, and he needs the opportunity to be subjected to it first. Amen? Ask of me. Ask of me. Get a burden. Pray for these people on a regular basis. Get that prayer guide. Pray through it on a normal basis. Your missionary committee, let the people know that these people are out there, and you'll see a difference for this very, very quickly. Can we reach the unreached? The Great Commission is given in Acts 1:8, and you know it. Fast forward 30 years, and you've got Romans 1 in verse number 8. And in Romans 1 in verse number 8, what does it say? That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Wow. What an incredible statement. In 30 years, the Apostle Paul knows that we're working with him, was able to get the gospel to their known world, which was then 231 million people. Now, 6.8 billion. If things continue the way they are right now, 30 years from now, the population is estimated to be 9 billion people. Do you know why that number is there? Daniel. Help me out, good and loud. 77 million, say that. That's a little better. I'm not going to get real loud out of you, I can already tell that. But pretty loud. 77 million more people are born every year than what die. Now, if we're already behind by 3.2 billion, and we're getting more and more behind by those kind of numbers, something has to change quickly. We got to think our strategy through quickly. Can we reach the unreached? I think so. Think about our advanced travel. Who's the oldest man in here? Oldest man in the building. In fact, I'm not even going to give you an opportunity. I want to go right back here to Superman. Superman, how you doing, sir? I don't know if you're the oldest or not, but man, you are incredible to me. Do you remember your first car? What was it? 1929 Model A. I'm not real good at this, so give me just a second. 1929. Best I can remember, now correct me if I'm wrong, sir, I think that vehicle came stock with power brakes, power steering, cruise control, AM, FM, stereo, cassette, onboard GPS system, sunroof. You're shaking your head, no? Had a rumble seat. Did that vehicle even have rubber tires? Had rubber tires. Amen for that. Good. Hey, do you agree that we've advanced greatly? How many of you are under 18 years of age? Do you know, preacher, every time these young people come to church, we expect a miracle out of them? I mean, think about it for a moment. We expect 18-year-olds and younger, maybe I should say 25-year-olds and younger now, to come and sit in church for an hour, listen to us scream to them, and they can do nothing with their thumbs. I mean, that's expecting something out of them. Did you hear about the new car that's coming out? Prototype, it's happening right now. It's in prototype stage. It's the new Mercedes-Benz. Any Mercedes-Benz drivers in here? I know preacher's got a couple in his driveway. It's there right now. I saw the caption. It said, "Are you too old to drive this car?" That bothered me. It's like, what does that mean? Does that mean when you get old, you have to drive junk? I'm not sure what that meant. So it showed a few pictures, and all of a sudden it went inside, and it said it again. When it showed the inside's a little different than our cars today. No steering wheel, no gas pedal, no brake. Everything's operated with a joystick. Now, is that any problem for you to even think about? No problem. In fact, easier than three things. You have a joystick in your hand all the time. Hey, Superman. You're not really interested in that, are you? Not at all. Our travel has advanced in amazing ways. Do you agree? What about communication? I don't even have time. But you know as well as I could that I could push a couple of buttons on that laptop right there. In a matter of seconds, I can be talking to somebody on the other side of the world with video. You could see them on the screen and they could see and hear us in seconds. Communication is incredible. 12,000 churches like you in the United States of America. Daniel, you still awake? How you doing, man? How's your math skills? Not bad? How many unreached people groups? 6,000. I love it when the guy pays attention. 6,000. How many churches like you in the United States? You do the math. I wasn't ever really good at math. I can figure this one out. That means if you would join up with one other church like you and adopt a people group, begin to pray for that people group, begin to send some funds toward that people group, ask God to send them a missionary, do what needs to be done to get a Bible into their hands, and if every church would just do that, we could work on closure to the Great Commission in our lifetime. All of a sudden, that great big number got very doable. It's something that absolutely can be done and should be done. Over 100 different countries that are listed right here, there's a common thread that runs through every one of them, and you probably already know what it is. Jehovah's Witnesses are in there. Mormons are there. Coca-Cola's there. McDonald's is there. Every one of them. Any NASCAR fans in here? Wow. Quite a few NASCAR fans. Preacher, have you ever figured out what it is that makes somebody a NASCAR fan? I haven't figured that one out either. I mean, 150,000 people will go pack themselves into this track area and watch a whole bunch of men and one lady race around a track at 140 plus miles an hour, and they only know how to turn left. It's unbelievable. Have you ever wondered why the pits are on the infield? If they're on the outfield, they'd have to turn right to get into them. They'd never make it. They got to turn left to get in. It's unbelievable. And with all those places there, don't you think that if we can put makeup? Oh, makeup. Avon's there. 4 million sales reps in over 100 different countries. And I had an Avon representative challenge me on this just a couple weeks ago. And she said, I think you might need to update that. It's almost 5 million now. I haven't seen that statistic, so I haven't updated it yet. But do you agree with me that if we can put makeup on their faces, if we can give them a Coca-Cola, Big Mac, and large fry, if we can give them NASCAR, shouldn't we be able to give them the Word of God? We should be able to get it to them, and we can get it to them. How can we reach them? Suppose Berean Baptist Church took ownership of the Great Commission. Suppose you took Psalm 2:8 very seriously, and you began to pray, and you began to make it a part of the fabric of your missions philosophy. Something would happen. Something could happen, because all these people are dying in complete darkness. Spiritual darkness without the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 119:105 says what, church? Thy word is a... What does a lamp do? School, young people. You've heard this. What does a lamp do? Stella, what's a lamp do? Shows us where we are right now. I knew you were listening. Shows us where we are right now. I know where I am. I know what my relationship is with my Lord right now. I know right where I am. Do you know that not only is it a lamp unto my feet that shows us where we are right now, but what's the next one up there, Stella? A light into my path. What's the difference in a lamp and a light? Lamp shows us where we are now. Light shows us where we're going. You are an amazing student. And do you know why? That all these billions of people have hundreds and thousands of different gods? They have not yet met the one God that's sufficient to meet their every need.
Amen.
We know where we're going. We have the light unto our path. We have our home in heaven established, and we know it. They don't even know what it is. They haven't been associated with that yet, and we need to get the Word of God to them as soon as we possibly can, because the question is, what are you doing? What are you personally doing for the cause of Christ that will outlive you with eternal value? The greatest thing I know is the greatest missionary that we can send is the Word of God in a mother tongue. It's an amazing thought to even be able to consider. Right now, we have projects going in Ghana, Chad, India, several places in India. We have 18 different projects that are in place right now that's either translating or printing the Word of God as we speak. And that number is just going to keep growing and growing and growing as we get more and more people involved. And so we ask you if you'll consider your mission strategy as it relates to the Great Commission. Judea, one of the missionaries, did a wonderful job explaining about that being our area. Jerusalem being our area. Judea. As I was studying that out one time, one of the commentators brought out a point that I'd never even thought of. Witnesses in Jerusalem, your area, those areas that you touch, Adrian and so on. Judea was the capital of the land. I wonder if Lansing, Michigan needs the Bible. I wonder if Lansing, Michigan needs a gospel presence. I wonder if Washington, D.C. needs the Word of God. I wonder if we need to pray for our president like the Bible tells us to, that he would receive Christ. Hey, if he can have the influence that he has as a lost person, what could he do as a Christian? Could God save him? Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to pray for him on a regular basis. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, where more than 99% of our mission money is sent out every year. But is that the end of that verse? No. And unto what, church? The uttermost. What is the uttermost? The unreached people groups, where less than 1% of our mission money is used to reach them. Less than 1%. What do? We pray, Lord of the harvest, that you'll send forth laborers into the mission field, even from this local church. Romans 15:20 says, I strived to preach the gospel. We believe Paul died trying to get to the next place with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you give Daniel a reason to at least consider going to an unreached people group? Will we, on purpose, from some of our colleges in the United States of America, start on purpose sending some of our missionaries where missionaries are not going? When I got saved, as 15 years old, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I surrendered my life and I was getting ready to go train, I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I need to go train for ministry. And he said, you go to Tennessee Temple University. This was back in the 70s when it was worth going to Tennessee Temple University. And I didn't even know that there was another one. So that's just where I went. He, on purpose, put me in a place where I could train. What's wrong with us on purpose at least giving a missionary representative a reason to at least consider going where they're not? Let's let Daniel get somewhere to fulfill the commission of the uttermost. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray that you would help us, please, as we see from the Word of God how that you encourage us to increase our faith, that we might get into the regions beyond, that we can give missionary representatives, people who are surrendering to go, a reason. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a minute, Pastor Rogers is going to come and conduct the invitation as he sees fit for his church. Just two questions before he does. Number one, I'm sure that you've been able to tell by all of us missionary representatives, we have a real heartbeat for the souls of people where God has sent us to go. But you've got to know, we have no more desire for them to be saved than we do for you. We every bit as much want you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior as we do for them on the other side of the world. If you don't have a Bible reason to know for sure you're on your way to heaven. I mean, if one of the soul winners here were to come up to you and say, do you have a Bible reason to know for sure you're going to heaven? Can you give them an answer right away? If not, you can take care of that tonight. Tonight, you can have a man with a man, a lady with a lady, show you from the Word of God how that you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. I hope that you will. We pray that you'll be born again tonight. And then number two, how many of you would say, preacher, tonight I want to commit to being a Psalm 2:8 prayer warrior for the unreached. I want one of those prayer guides. I want to pray for the unreached. I want to commit to that tonight. Would you lift your hand as a testimony of it? Heavenly Father, you see every hand. And Lord, what could be done with this amount of people regularly fulfilling Psalm 2:8 would be amazing. We'll trust you for what you're going to do.